Before we get started with this week's episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, a couple things to talk to you about. First is Thrive Fantasy. Thrive Fantasy, new DFS app for prop bets, and has just launched their PGA product. They have streamlined the drafting process and eliminated the need to unnecessary hours of research by using only top-tier athletes. Instead of the traditional salary cap format, you build your lineup around a list of prop bets. For each contest, you need to choose 5 of the 10 prop bets, plus 2 ice picks that protect you from any late scratches or postponed events. Each unique prop has an over and under point value assigned to it, and you'll be rewarded that point value if that prop hits correctly. For example, with Dustin Johnson to score over or under 68.5 on Thursday, the less likely the prop is to occur, the more points the choice will be worth, and you build your team around the amount of props you get correct. This week, they are running a $1,000 guaranteed top prize with a $20 entry plus a free roll on Thursday. So go check it out over there at Thrive Fantasy in the App Store under Thrive Fantasy. And when you're a new sign up, use promo code SportsDGens, SportsDGens, and you get $10 match on the $10 you deposit. So go check it out, Thrive Fantasy, SportsDGens, free $10, great golf tournaments as they are rocking and rolling in the golf world. Also, go check out FanshareSports.com, great sponsor of the podcast for quite some time now. Use promo code ALWAYSPRESS, one word, ALWAYSPRESS, for 20% off the order of your choice over there. We use their lineup optimizer, their research tools. I use them every time. Every episode, I give you information on there. They have great ownership models and much, much more at Fanshare Sports. Promo code ALWAYSPRESS gets you 20% off on that. Lastly, if you can leave a rating and review on iTunes, I'd much, much appreciate it. It would help me and Jesse out quite a bit. Now, welcome to this week's episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS Podcast, previewing the 2019 3M Classic. Lay. Sir. Yeah.
Kane's in the building. Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come to the show. What's up?
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS Podcast, previewing this week's PGA Tour action back in Minnesota at the 3M Classic. In order to break it all down, we joined by my co-host, as always. Find him on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how we doing, man?
Doing well, dude. How you doing?
Doing well. For a Monday, not too bad. Not too bad. Had a busy weekend at a wedding and golf and everything else, but not too bad. Yeah. I didn't get to catch much of the golf because I was there. I was checking the PGA Tour app, which, you know, is better than the U.S. Open app and those other apps. But it was interesting to see that leaderboard. Do you have any thoughts on, you know, Nate Lashley? It's a great story. Really, really great story. He comes through Monday qualify. Second Monday qualifier this year to win, Jesse.
He didn't Monday qualify.
Yeah, he didn't. Then he got in as an alternate. That is correct.
He tried to Monday qualify. And didn't get in.
Yeah.
And then was the, like, last alternate to get in. Wasn't even on fucking DraftKings.
He wasn't so even couldn't even play him.
Most sports books didn't have him. Saw a lot of people, you know, kicking themselves like they would have actually bet Nate Lashley.
Exactly. Yep, I would have bet him.
Yeah. And so anyways, yeah, just a wild story. I heard a buddy texted me and said that, like, his girlfriend and, like, some of his family members had died.
His parents and his girlfriend both died after one of his college tournaments in the mid like first decade of the year, like mid 2000s.
Damn, I mean, that's just wild. And he's just been grinding ever since.
Let me find a tweet for you.
Yeah, I mean, he's just been grinding ever since. He's just one of those guys, kind of like, you know, Adam Long earlier this year, Corey Connors. There's been a bunch this year. It's been a wild, wild year of, maybe this is in, maybe it's just the new schedule and the big guys are just adjusting to it or whatever, but it's been crazy to see some of these guys Monday qualifier just get in and then go win it. I mean, he shot 63, 67, 63, 70, won by 6 shots. Pretty crazy.
Yeah, pretty darn impressive. Will Gray of the Golf Channel, I believe, if I get it correctly, he put out a tweet right after Nate won yesterday. I remember seeing this. So he lost both his parents and his girlfriend in a 2004 plane crash. He quit golf and briefly flipped houses in 2012. He played on the Latino America Tour in 2015. He became a 34-year-old PGA Tour rookie in 2017. He failed Monday qualifier this week, but got in anyways. He was 132nd in points, and now he's into the next 3 majors and exempt through 2021. So
it's wild. Like you said, it's wild what's going on in the golf world. But I think it's what kind of makes it fun, as we were kind of chatting before this, is the leaderboard. It still had a few of the big names. Hideki played great. Pat Reed was back up there. But a lot of these other guys that really get it going and have some fun. Like we saw Sepp Straka was back up there again, a guy that we've been on quite a bit. There's a lot of guys on Doc Redman, his second PGA Tour event. He finished really high. But like Sungjae was there. A lot of guys we like usually as values, and you know, Sabs was up there again. A lot of good stuff, and a lot of them will be playing again this week, and we'll kind of have, I think, similar approaches there without the course history. But it was fun. Like we were kind of chatting, I don't mind seeing Birdie Fest from time to time. It sucks when it's, like you said, back-to-back weeks, but I don't mind it as we're ramping up for the British Open. So, you know, one more week of it, maybe a little bit of the John Deere, and then we'll head across the pond, as they say.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And we got 2 weeks to the Open Championship. So last major of the year, then it's all downhill straight into the glorious FedEx Cup playoffs. So shit's winding down quick, dude.
Yeah, it's winding down real quick. But then they just released the fall schedule. Got me excited because we'll have golf year round yet again.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're going to stop. But.
Yeah, but it's good.
The shitty part about the fall schedule is, like, you don't really have anything to look forward to. Like, this time of year, we're looking forward to majors. In the fall schedule,
there's really nothing.
But football.
Yeah, they added a few tournaments back. I remember we talked about, but we'll have to, I think, go back to Dallas and a few others. But, yeah, overall, it'll be interesting. Play a lot of events just like this one in the week prior. That's what you're going to get. Lots of those. So let's get into it. The 3M Classic at TPC Twin Cities. There's really no past course of history unless you want to talk a little Senior Open or Senior Tour action.
Yeah, I don't think.
Okay, good. Just wanted to check. Didn't know if you want to throw any of those nuggets out there. But all right, the course preview, TPC Twin Cities in Blaine, Minnesota, just a very short drive away from Minneapolis, Minnesota. It was originally an Arnold Palmer design, about 7,100 yards. It was lengthened by Tom Lehman and companies after the 2018 Senior Tour event. It is now a par 71, 7,468 yards. But really all they did was move some, you know, tee boxes back. It's still relatively easy when it comes to scoring out in this place. The big thing you have to watch for, there's tons and tons of water on this course. Over half the holes have water in play. There's 27 total water hazards around greens and everything. So if your approach is off, you're in trouble. If you're accurate off the tee, you're fine, because the fairways, they narrowed them a bit on the renovation, but still much wider than course average. The trees are well off the fairway. The rough can get thick at times. It's going to be tough to mow things. It's supposed to rain all week, and even Thursday and Friday, small chances there. But all in all, if you're accurate off the tee, there are a bunch of bunkers like we saw a lot last week, 74 total on the course, some in the fairway, some around the green. So, again, I keep saying it, similar to last week, be very accurate off the tee. You'll have good chances of scoring. That's like everything you read from the Senior Tour players. It was very, very gettable. I was telling Jesse prior to this, the guys that are running the golf course in the tournament, they want it to be a birdie fest. They're trying to make it a birdie fest, so look for a birdie fest. Anything can happen, but that's the look of it. The green sizes are average-sized greens, so they should be fine with that. It's bent grass pretty much purely, completely, 100% bent grass. They try to keep everything out of it. Be about 12 and a half on the stem, because they don't want it to be too fast, because there aren't a ton of trees, so it can be windy and ruin things, so they don't want the greens to be super fast and have tons of roll-off. A few other things, there's 3 par 5s that are all gettable, so that's something to keep in mind. There are 11 par 4s, 6 of those are below 430 yards, so very short par 4s. And then the 3 par 3s, or 4 par 3s, but 3 of them are over 200 yards, so that could be a little tricky. But all in all, very, very scoreable golf course. You know, you were saying we saw the Senior Tour saw a bunch of scores in the 60s. It was like the first or second easiest tour or tour stop on the Senior Tour in recent years. So we should see a lot of scoring this week. DK scoring, once again, will be very, very vital. That being said, Jesse, what key stats are you looking for?
I mean, a lot of the same stuff. I actually pulled the same model on Fantasy Golf National that I had last week because it did decently well. Opportunities gained, proximity, ball striking, birdie or better. DraftKings points is what I'm waiting over there. And then similar stuff on Fantasy Labs. You know, just got to get guys. It ended up being more of guys who hit it in the fairway last week. How long was that course last week, though? It wasn't playing as long, was it?
No, it was. I got it right here from last week. It was like 4,200 or something like that. It wasn't this
72,
long.
You mean?
Yeah, 72. Sorry. Yeah, 72. Okay. Not 42. 72.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is a little bit longer. you know, but at the same time last week, I mean, if you look at that over that leaderboard, you don't see many bombers. Obviously, we don't know again exactly how this golf course is going to play. It's the shitty part about these new venues, zero course history, really zero idea of what it looks like and how it's going to play. But assuming that it is similar to last week, I'm just going to go with guys who have been scoring lately, guys who have been close and given themselves chances to rack up those points that we need.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Before we get into the DraftKings scoring, talk a little FanShare Sports. Guys coming in good form over the last six tour events. Again, if you want to try FanShare Sports out, use promo code ALWAYSPRESS, all one word, for 20% off your package of your choice. Brooks Koepka leading the way. Rory Sabatini just behind him. Hideki Streelman is fourth right now. Tringali's up there. Piercy, Nate Lashley, of course, coming off the W. Jason Day and Joaquin Niemann coming off another really, really good performance. Now, if you go last six events on courses that are par 71s and over 7,400 yards, a couple guys that stand out. Jason Day scores really well. Patrick Reed as well. Bryson DeChambeau loves these tracks. Tony Finau, Pat Perez, a couple other ones. Brooks Koepka, because I didn't want to name all the guys. Just one event there. If you look at the Bermuda, we're on bent grass, aren't we, Jesse?
Correct.
Yeah. Let me change that real quick. Bent grass greens over the last six events. You got guys like Bryson DeChambeau, averaging almost 92 DraftKings points on these. Brooks loves them. Hideki, Anders Albertsen, Joaquin Niemann's playing really well. Sam Ryder, Keegan Bradley, Finau, Nick Watney, another one that stands out there. One thing you're seeing is a lot of the big boys play well on these tracks. And then just for fun, since we don't have past event history or anything, I was thinking about courses with a lot of water in them. So I thought the Honda Classic, because that's where all of a sudden doubles and triples just pop up because they find water. And I was just looking for fun to see how the finish is there this year compared to guys in the tour. Keith Mitchell, Brooks Koepka, Wyndham Clark, Lucas Glover, K.H. Lee, Michael Thompson, Ryan Armour, Scott Brown, and Taylor Gooch kind of led the way there on DraftKings scoring. So it's kind of a mess, just like last week. Like you said, I'm going to kind of go with the same idea of last week. I'm going to try to narrow the pool down. I just want my ball strikers that are going to, you know, be accurate off the tee and have chances to score. So that's what I'll be rolling with this week. All right, let's get into the DK scoring, Jesse. Lots of fun here. You got five guys over 10K. Brooks at 11.9, Matsuyama at 11.1, Jason Day at 10.9, Bryson 10.5, and Patty Reed's up to $10,000. What are you liking up here in this range?
Dude, it's been, how weird has it been, though? Like, if you pretty much avoid this range over, it feels like all year, then you're doing well. Just wanted to kind of get that out there. But Hideki is number one. So I ran my model over the last 12 rounds. He's number one in everything except every strokes game, ball striking, and he is second in that. I feel like Hideki is on the way to being there. He did finish. What did he finish last week? He finished, tied 13th, 68, 67, 68, 70. So, I mean, he's like the guy that I would lean towards up here. Patrick Reed's playing well, though, too. I feel like you're more of the Taco Tits Whisperer than I am. Bryson's going to be popular. Day will not be popular. I think he's a good GPP, you know, pivot play. And you just never know about Brooks. You know, I mean, I fully expected last week, we didn't really talk about some of the wild shit that went on last week, but DJ missed the cut last week, right?
Yep.
And
helped the ownership out a ton.
Yeah. I mean, he was 30 something percent owned at $12,000.
That's just crazy to me.
He had it going for a little bit, but he shot 71, 71, finished 2 under. And it was like, you know, the cut was 5 under last week, which is just absolutely insane. But even Smiley Kaufman made the cut. Just go ahead and throw that out there. The guy was like close to the lead. He shot 80 on Saturday too. Smiley Kaufman.
He went full Smiley. He went full Smiley on Saturday.
God bless Smiley.
Didn't he have a hole in one last week too?
I don't know about that. I didn't see that, but he turned it around with the 69 on Sunday, and you know, so good for him. I'm glad he made the cut. But you know, I want no part of. I don't know. I don't want no part of Brooks, but paying up that much and just the way things are going this year with this new schedule, I just feel like, you know, this would be a place for Brooks to mail it in. I could be completely wrong about that. Obviously, I was completely wrong about Brent Snedeker last week. I thought that was a terrible price on him, and he, what, he finished T5 or something. But I mean, Brooks outside of majors in his last two starts, 57th and 50th. He did finish fourth at the Byron Nelson Championship, but I mean, other than the majors this year, like, he's literally like, it's just like he doesn't give a fuck, which I don't blame him. I mean, like, I don't know if he's just making appearances. I don't know. But anyways, long story short, Hideki for me, Patrick Reed, Jason Day, GPP.
Yeah, I'm with you 100% on Hideki. I actually was on him last week, and longtime listeners of the show know I'm very sporadically on Hideki at Matsuyama. But for me, it comes down to, like, when it's tournaments where we don't know the courses like these, I like Hideki because I know he's a shot, he's a cut maker that will put birdies on the board. He's one of the most accurate ball strikers we've seen on tour in a long, long time. And he's shown it over his last three events, a sixth, a T21, T13, even a T16 prior to that. He's been so, so good, and the birdies been flowing in of late. You know, 18 birdies last week, 19 and 23 in the previous three events. Like you said, his ball striking is just outstanding right now. So I really do like Hideki. It's hard to pay up, like you were talking about. Like, Brooks could beat anybody at any time, but he has that complete, like, I'm just here for it's like the old Marshawn Lynch. This is practice. Like, I'm just here for practice. That's it.
I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Yeah, I'm just here so I don't get fined. Like, he just doesn't care. Brooks is like, gotta come here once every 4 years. Like, this is what I'm doing. Don't right. just mind me. But, you know, if he wins on, if we talk on Monday, one Sunday by 12 strokes, I must be surprised because that's what he do.
No, but that's what we said last week about DJ, and he didn't make the cut.
But that's why I don't play these guys up here, because they have to. Even if Brooks finishes like 10th, that's a great week. Not for DraftKings though. It's not a great week.
Unless he just makes a shit ton of birdies and a bunch of bogeys. I'm with you four times.
But yeah.
Yeah.
But so yeah, Matsuyama, and then I do like Pat Reed. The price tag sucks, but at the same time, it's what I say like every week with Pat Reed. No one wants to pay for Pat Reed. No one. His ownership is always sub 10%. Most of the time, it's around 6 or 7%. Like, it is low, and all the dude does is make cuts. And you know, T5 last week, he had 30 and 32nd the previous 2 weeks. He doesn't always light the world on fire, but in a GPP, he's got tremendous upside. And for making cuts, he's even cash relevant to me. I think there's a lot to like with Pat Reed at 10,000. He's coming into form. He loves these kind of courses where he can kind of go at it. He's also got a really good short game. Like, when it comes to chipping up and saving pars, or you know, laying up and then getting a little wedge in, he's really, really good at that kind of stuff. So Reed at 10,000, I like quite a bit if you're coming up. But we're going to get to some guys coming up here. I don't think you need to go in this range if you don't want to. I think we saw last week, I remember who tweeted it out, I think like the three most optimal lineups last week left anywhere from 8 to 10K on the table. So I'm not saying that's what we're going to say you do, but you don't have to pay up. $9,000, you got Sabatini at 95, Neiman at 93, Finau at 92, Hovland at 91, Sungjae at 9,000. A, it's an interesting pricing because there's no one from 96 to 99. B, it's only like five guys, which is rare.
Yeah.
But who you liking here, Jesse?
I mean, I've got them all checked off here. Sabs is just playing really well. T3 last week. You know, he's in a groove. He's been playing solid all week. I tweeted out something earlier today, though. And I mean, like, if I would have told you, like, let's say we were doing our season preview, you know, we talked about Tony Finau quite a bit.
Yes.
And about how he thought he was going to have a great year. And if I told you that Rory Sabatini and Joaquin Neiman were going to be higher priced at any point during the year, what would you have told me?
I would call you full shit.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's wild that Finau is at $9,200. I do think that creates a very chalky Finau.
Yes.
Now, that could go one of two ways. He's going to get a lot of tags on Fanshare, I do believe, and he's probably going to be projected to be high-owned. And it's either going to go where he is super high-owned, everybody's playing him, or he's, you know, people have forgot about him and he's sub 20%. But I don't see any way that he's not above 10 minimum, and between 10 and 20 would be fine with me. He's a GPP play only. Three straight missed cuts for him, but you know, since last year at the Players Championship which was in May, so he was sub 10% there, and then the last time that he was sub 10% was, or the next time he was sub 10% was the U.S. Open, two, 3 weeks ago, whatever. Where he was 9% owned. But even after that, the Travelers, he was 18% owned. He was 19% owned at the Memorial. I mean, people just lay on Tony because he's got the upside. We know he can make birdies. Can he fucking figure out whatever the hell is going on with him? That's the question. Three straight missed cuts. I don't know the last time he missed. I'm going back to 2015. So the last time he missed three or more missed cuts in a row was 2016. And that was, you know, the Valspar, Honda Classic, Northern Trust, and Phoenix Open. And then he turned around to API and finished 43rd and then won the week after in Puerto Rico. So, yeah, that was 30 years ago at this point. But long story short on Tony, I think he's, you know, GPP play. But, again, he's going to be chalky. So, do you want to play him? That's up to you. Hovland, I think, is totally fine. M is totally fine. Neiman's totally fine. I mean, my favorite play here is Sabatini. And I hope that everybody is gravitating to those next four. I think they will be pretty popular. And a lot of lineups will start there with one or two of those guys. So, Sabs is the guy for me in this range if I'm going to narrow it down.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you on Sabs. Big, big fan for those that are new to the show. This is my boy, one of my boys. I'll say that much. But, yeah, T5 or better in three of his last five events. T3 last week at Rocket Mortgage. A lot to like here with Sabatini coming into this tournament. Of course, it fits his game. Should, you know, if what I'm reading correctly, should fit his game very, very well. I think Joaquin Neiman's a great play as well. I liked him last week. He's really starting to show things. Ball strikers, paradise like this. He can score and score in bunches. 22 birdies last week, 17 the week before. Back-to-back T5s. I think he's starting to find that groove, and he might sneak through here sooner than later. So 93 for Neiman's good. Finau and Hovland, I think, are going to be the chalk, like big, big chalk. Like, I like Hovland a ton. I've talked about him ever since I've watched him at the Open. The kid is really good. But, A, what he did on Sunday to just kind of torch the course and finish so high, and, B, he's the talk of the town right now. He's like the new Panda, except he can actually golf. So Hovland, I think Hovland and Finau go very, very chalky, and hopefully at least Sabatini, Neiman, and Sungjae. Sungjae's another guy, big ball striker, big-time birdie maker. He has 14 or more birdies made in four straight events. It's a lot to like there. He scored 80 or more DraftKings points in three straight weeks, all on pretty good birdie fest type events. So I don't mind him either at 9,000. I'd hope he was a little cheaper. I think that'll lower his ownership. So Sabatini, Neiman, M, I like quite a bit at this price point. $8,000. I got Strowman at 89. Keegan Bradley, 88 below. Some of those names is pretty surprising too. Ryan Moore at 87, Nod at 86, Mickelson at 85. Wow. CH3 84, Lashley 83, Piercy 82, Hadwin 81, Berger 8,000, and Brian Harman at 8,000. What are you looking at here, Jesse?
I'd start with Streelman and Bradley. Streelman, what did he end up finishing last week?
It fell apart on the week, like 35th.
Yeah, so he shot one over on
Sunday.
Sunday, 73, shot 11 under for the week, 66, 70, 68, 73. I don't mind. I think Strowman is a fine, I mean, even cash play. Keegan as well. I mean, Keegan was there at the Travelers. He's been basically made cut, miscut ever since the Players Championship. So he's more sketch in my opinion. You tell me about Kevin Na. I'll leave that one up to you. Charles Howell, man, he started off really hot. He had two eagles in his first round on Thursday morning. Very lackluster weekend. Shot 65, 67, 71, 74 last week. But I don't mind Chuck on this track again. It seems like he's found something. So I would go back to him at 8,400. Hadwin at 81 is fine too, and then. You know, I mean, mean, I can't not. You know what I mean? Like, at this point, we have talked and talked and talked about him. He's not gotten there for us yet, but Berger at 8,000 again, especially in this field, I'll take that all day.
Yeah, Strowman's a guy I can definitely get behind at 89. The reasons we liked him so much last week, coming in really good form, ball striking it beautifully, putting birdies up there. There is a lot to like there. Strowman, you know, he's talked about some of the fan share stuff as well. So, $8,900, I like him quite a bit. Kevin Na, I don't mind. He's coming in kind of weird form. You know, missed the cut at the U.S. Open, won the Charles Schwab, missed the cut at the PGA, so missed the back-to-back majors. Outside of the majors, though, he won a T35, a 10th, a 46th, and then another – or the 46th is a major, too. So the last three non-majors, first, 35th, and 10th. So he plays really well. His iron game is very, very solid. I don't mind Kevin Na in a field like this. I think there's some upside there at $8,600. CH3, I completely agree to 84. He's kind of fell apart there a bit, but he's worth a look. And Adam Hadwin, he's kind of like a cheaper Streelman to me. You know, really good ball striker, can take advantage of courses like this where he's got to, you know, avoid the hazards and just keep it in the fairways. He seems to do well at events, I guess, where bombers aren't the only ones that succeed. Is what I'm trying to say. So a guy like Hadwin, 81, is very intriguing. But for me, Streelman, Na, CH3, Hadwin in this area. I probably, you know, had him by the fourth out of those four, but all pretty solid plays in this range. 7,500 and above, Jesse, where are you going?
I'll start with Malnati. You mentioned him last week. I totally forgot to play him. Like, really wanted to, like, seriously punch myself early on. And what did he end up finishing?
Still finished well. I think it was 13th, T29. Yeah, because he'd two over it on Sunday.
All right. So not a very good finish, but he's playing really good golf too. Another similar type of event. I'd go back to him at 7,800. Duffner at 77. He ranks high on my model over the last 24 rounds. Not so much, a little bit lower on the last 12, but just he's hitting the ball really well at this point. 15th in opportunities gained, 11th in ball striking. And 21st in DraftKings points gained in this field. So don't mind him. And then Tringali, man, I mean, I didn't play him enough last week. And it was really tilty because he was on my DJ lineup. I made a DJ Hideki lineup with a lot of those super low, you know, guys below 6,000 or 7,000. And of course, DJ misses the cut of all people and pretty much sinks that one. So, Cameron there, and then Sepp Straka and Cameron Champ at 7,500. I don't think that, you know, those guys will be your under the radar sleeper type of guys, but they're playing really, really good golf right now, especially Sepp. I mean, Cameron Champ, dude, I know you saw his round on, like, what he was doing on Friday.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, goodness gracious. He was going low. Had a terrible round on Saturday.
Did you see what he did on Saturday?
What did he shoot?
I saw this highlight. I know his number, but you see, I'm pretty sure it was him. I could be wrong. He kind of flew a grandstand.
Oh, did he? Really?
That's what I heard. No
Laying Up was tweeting about, or
they were tweeting about that. And I at one of the bars I was at after the wedding, they had the BGA or Golf Channel on, and I saw that I looked like him from a distance. I'm like, holy shit!
Yeah. So the 14th. He's 256 out and hits it 331 yards, which left him 75 back into the hole. But of course, it was over top of a grandstand.
That's impressive.
Which, don't get me started on grandstands. And the No Laying Up guys are the same way. Like, they're like, if you hit it there, you should just have to play it, no matter what's in your way. I mean, or you hit it 331 yards. You hit it 75 yards over the green.
Yeah. Like,
what the fuck?
That's your own mess up. That's your problem.
How do you do that? He had to hit the cart path or something. I mean, that's wild.
It's pretty impressive.
But yeah, Champ and Straka there. Like I said, I don't think they'll be like low-owned guys. But
yeah, not at all. For me, I will go back to my boy of the week off, Colin Morikawa. Really good ball striker. Saw T36 the champion at Travelers, T14 at RBC, and a T35 at the U.S. Open. I like him at 7,900. I think you're getting a good discount there for a guy that's playing really, really good golf. J.J. Spahn's actually played really, really well of late. I can't figure him out. T13 last week, T30, T44 prior to that. He's staying out of trouble for the most part, but I can't wrap my finger around him. But 78 could be an interesting one for you. I'd rather go to Malnati at 78, though. That's a guy I do like. Tringali, you mentioned him at 77. I'm on that one. And then Danny Lee. Talk about a guy that trunk slammed for everybody. Finished T21, but he was a roller coaster ride. He was up, down, up, down. But, man, still a good finish, but what could have been. I don't mind him again at $7,600. He's worth the play. And then the last guy I have here is Sepp Straka. This is a guy that I've been talking about each week. We've been talking about each week. The dude's game is legit. T11 last week. He is a birdie machine. It's just a matter of staying out of trouble for him because he can hit the ball a long ways, and he's pretty darn accurate. So a guy like Sepp at 75, I agree, he's probably not going to go as low-owned as I would like, but I'm a big fan of him. So Sepp and Danny Lee down there with Malnati and Morikawa, some good plays I like at 7,500 and above. If you go below 75, I'll give it a few real quick. Mackenzie Hughes was a big part of my limited success last week. T21, he's made four straight cuts, the T8 and a T14 mixed in there as well. Coming in really good form at $7,400. So I like him. If you want to sweat cut maker with some upside, Sam Burns at 73, coming in with back-to-back made cuts at the mortgage and Travelers. A guy that I liked, I got a really low ownership last week, and I was pretty happy with this. He's quietly coming back into form, and we're not in Napa yet, but Brandon Steele is playing some really good golf. He did finish T51 last week because he kind of felt, didn't do a ton over the weekend, but T21 the week prior, T41 prior to that, slowly putting it together. So Steele at 72, I think, is a value at that price point. Nick Taylor at 72 is another guy I like. And then like Wyndham Clark, Max Homa, I think, is a great 7K play. I was on him last week. I think he really fits this course, these courses well. The only other time he played, I didn't mention his name, because he only had one tournament out of the six. But it was the tournament he won this year, was a par 71, around 7,400 yards. Not that that correlates perfectly, but he plays well on these types of courses and these distances and whatnot. So 7K for Max Homa is a guy I can get behind as well. So a lot of thoughts there, but I'll let you do the heavy digging. Jesse, what do you like at 7,400 and below?
A lot of the guys you mentioned already. I'll throw Bud Colley out there as well. He was not good at the Travelers, but turned it around last week. And where did he finish last week?
Bud Colley.
This is so much easier whenever
T59
has my stats loaded up. Man, yeah, I mean, he played better early on and I guess kind of fell apart over the weekend or whatever. I think going back to Wolf is okay too. I mean, you know, he missed the cut last week, didn't he?
Yeah.
Again, this is not easy without – Fantasy Labs had everything loaded up here. So, Wolf, $7,300. I think the upside's there to get paid off that $7,300. And, I mean, he made a run. He had a really bad opening round and made a run on Friday and set a couple bad holes. So, don't mind him. Max Homa, yes. Wes Roach, dude finished T3.
Yeah, he was
T3, 67, 68, 67, 68. Played really well. Could be another guy who has another solid week coming up here. If you like putters, you know, you might want to look at Troy Merritt. He's been playing better, so I don't mind him either. And other than that, man, I mean, this is one of those range where we're like usually looking at $7,000 or $6,000 guys, and we're above 7K, so it's kind of sketch, but here we are.
What do you think the Doc Redman ownership is this week?
I mean, I wouldn't play him.
Yeah, I'm not playing him either. People can go back to that well if they like, but
I'm not there.
7,200.
Let me look at.
He's coming in hot. He's played in two tournaments. He's like, I think, 19th and went second last week.
18th at the Wells Fargo, second last week at the Rocket Mortgage, miscut Wyndham, but that was in 2018. I guess he's been playing a lot on the web.com. Yeah, I mean, he missed the cut at the Dormy Network Classic, the Wyndham in 2018. Where has he been playing since?
I don't know. That's why when people were talking about him, I'm like, okay.
On Labs, he's got, I mean, a big gap between the Dormy Classic, which was in April of 2019, and then the Wyndham Championship, which was in August of 2018. So I don't know if he's been injured or what he's been doing. I did read somewhere last week, somebody had tweeted out some kind of caddy network or something like that. And they were just some caddies who were anonymous were throwing out picks. And somebody mentioned Redmond on that.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean that the name is familiar to me because I've seen it before. But as far as like what he's been doing, I don't know. So yeah, I mean, if you want to go back to that well, I guess it's fine. But you know, I'd rather not if you know everybody's gonna be jumping on board.
It's kind of one thing. I think it'll be much more popular this week. I'll take $7,200 Brandon Steele at the same price.
Yeah,
back home at 7,000 can be stuff like that. That's kind of my thoughts. You. All right, 6K range. There's actually a few okay options here. What are you looking at?
I would go back to a couple guys here. Played KH Lee last week.
Yeah, I did too.
Fuck.
Every time you give us hope, and then you drown it away.
I mean, he was coming off a 13th at the Travelers Championship and then just shit the bed. I mean, couldn't make anything, dude. Couldn't even hit it close to even make anything. It was a frustrating week. So I like a bounce back for him. I like a bounce back for Lebioda as well at 69. Both of those guys missed the cut last week, but you know, here we are below 7,000. So, and then Zach Susher, he missed the cut too, didn't he? Did he play last week?
He did play last week.
Yeah, he missed the cut. He shot one over. I mean, obviously before that, at the Travelers, he finished second. Missed the cut at the Canadian Open, but then finished second at the Rex Hospital Open, which is a web.com event. So he's been like kind of on, off. So I think this is a good week to go back to him at $6,800. Bronson Burgoon's down here. He's been playing well of late. Seen his name on leaderboards and stuff like that. Josh Teeter.
I was thinking, say your boy. Come on.
The dude. Yeah, I hope. Man, that's a couple of cuts in a row for him. Four straight.
Yeah, four straight. Good for him. Decent finishes, too, for that price point.
I'm glad Lee's getting paid. I'm glad he's getting paid, too.
Yeah, now maybe he can come to your house and do it in studio this time.
Yeah. I doubt it. I haven't seen him in forever, but it's because they've been grinding. Busy. They've been out there.
A little busy.
Yeah. So good for them. I'm glad on that. And, I don't know. I'll defer to you.
Okay. I'm with you on Lebioda and Lee. Those are two guys that got me last week and I'd go back to them if you need to. I don't have any hard feelings there. I think they are still good plays in these price points. A couple others though, Ryan Armour at $6,800. Been extremely active. One of the best tee to green guys over the last few weeks, surprisingly. T46 last week, and that's because he went 74-72 on the weekend, was playing great overall, just couldn't finish strong, but still playing really good golf. So Ryan Armour at 68, don't hate that at all. Harris English, I've talked about him a ton lately, $6,600. He's not flashy, but what he's doing is making cuts quite often, and this price range is outstanding. T55 last week, not great, but you know that he's made 8 or 9 straight cuts, 10 of his last, like 9 of his last 10. There is a lot to like there at $6,600 for a guy that just grinds out there, makes cuts, and he's one of the better putters in this field right now over the last five or six events. So something to keep in mind there on some pretty friendly greens. If he can hit some greens in regulation, he could have a hot streak for you there and get things going. You mentioned Teeter because I figured you would, but I wrote him down just in case. The last guy I will mention, another guy that's made a handful of cuts in a row. He's $6,300. He's made 3 straight cuts, T64 last week. T80 at the Travelers, T43 at the U.S. Open, missed the RBC Canadian, and T40, T67, T65. So, yeah, not sexy scoring, but at $6,300, Tom Hoagie, he's a North Dakota boy, so he's up in his neck of the woods in Minnesota, real close, Minneapolis and North Dakota. They share a bridge where you can cross state lines. Since I have family over there, I know those stupid facts. But he's going to be home and have a lot of people there. He might play better than you think. He might know this course a little better than most at $6,300. So if you need an Uber punt, Tom Hoagie at 63 is a guy you can take a look at. All right. Let's recap it real quick, Jesse. One guy, 10K and above.
Decky.
I'll go Reed to make it a little different, but I think Decky's the play. 9K, give me one guy.
Sabatini.
Okay, I'll take M. Actually, no, I'll take Neiman. I'll take Neiman. Since you have Sabs, I'll take Neiman. 8K, give me two.
Berger and Howell.
I'll go Nah and Howell. I'll go Howell with Nah. 7,500 and above, give me two.
Tringale and Straka.
Yeah, I'll go Straka as well, and I'll partner him up with Morikawa. 7,400 and below, give me two.
Homa and Roach.
I'll go Steele and Homa. So we're a lot on the same page, which is good. Who's your top 6K punt?
Suture.
I'll say Ryan Armour, because out of all those 6K, I like English just to be a cut maker, but I think Armour actually has contender in him if he's playing well.
Wait, Ryan Armour's 6,800?
Yeah, I was talking about a second ago. Surprising.
Well, I must have zoned out. I totally missed that. But
that price is silly down there. He's actually playing decent golf. He's had a bad weekend. Like, he's playing good golf. I was looking at some stats earlier. He's actually tee to green, one of the top guys in this field. He's having a struggle. When he struggles big is what it comes down to. So,
yeah, he shot 64, opened up with a 64. Yep. That's pretty good.
Pretty darn good. All right, if you're starting a GPP team, give me three guys you'd look into.
So this must not be a replay of last week. So just keep that in mind. If you listen weekly, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Sabatini, Berger, and Howell.
I'll be going Reed, M, and Nah. Cash, give me three guys.
Sabatini? No, I think Sabatini, Streelman. Yeah. I don't know exactly what that leaves you, but then, you know, I think a guy like Hadwin, like you mentioned before, is cash viable.
Yeah, I can get behind that. I got Sabs, CH3, and Steele as a kind of a punt at 72 just to make the cut and move along. All right, Jesse, the fun time where we like to make predictions that don't come true. Who are your picks to win? Because this is a weird.
What do you got on Sabatini? 25-1?
33.
That's just fucking gross. Yep. What about Tringali? What do you got on Tringali?
Tringali, we've got. I get to scroll for a bit. This is fun now. 90-1.
Yeah. I would bite on maybe a little bit of that. Those would be my two.
Yeah, Neiman's 28, M is 40, but Straka's 125. Straka's going to win here one of these days on one of these weird fields like this. It's happening.
I'm with you. Dude, Straka's, he's got a good game. 125 is pretty long.
Just play him T20 until his number corrects. Like, you still get good odds on that. The guy's good. He's really good. Like, you're going to make some money on that. I'll tell you that much. I'm no expert at this. We do the kind of picks to win for fun, but yeah, I think you can make some money on Straka as they keep those prices down like that. All right, any final thoughts this week as we wrap up the 3M Open preview?
I don't have much, man. It's just another one of those weeks where no course history, don't really know exactly how the course is going to play. So I tread lightly. We do have the John Deere next week, plenty of course history, and we know that course will play. So birdie fest.
Yeah, plenty of course history there before we go across the pond to Ireland, where there's no course history again. So we'll get to enjoy all that. But with all that being said, follow Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. I'm at BD and Trick. If you give a rating and review on iTunes, we'd much appreciate it. The podcast is at Always Press DFS. You can get it on all your listening platforms and YouTube for the time being. Until next week, this was the Always Pressing PGA DFS preview of the 3M Open. Catch you guys later.